Psalm 146, at verse 8, where I have marked anyway. I'm sure you all remember exactly where I stopped that night, so if I repeat anything, I apologize. But we'll have a little short, we'll be a little short tonight because I know the choir's got practice, so we'll give them a little time. But I really want to finish up 147 because I've only got like two or three more weeks. I want to finish this all up by then, and Brother Jim will be back in the back up here in January. But we've been looking at the theme of praise, and I've been impressed that, or not impressed, but I've just been happy that so many people have gotten. Have mentioned it so much. I believe Brother Bunger has mentioned it so many times. I'm really happy that it's worked out, that it's been a good subject for us. And there's you can't say enough about it. So far we've looked at the theology of praise, and who God is, and as a person, who He became, and or who He has always been, rather, excuse me, but he became a man in the person of Christ, and He fulfills all of His offices completely in the Holy Spirit as He lives within us. So there is a theology of praise where we praise God for who He is, unknowing as we are. And Psalm 147 will knock you down. When you stop and think about some of the statements in it, it's overwhelming to the human mind. Of course, God is beyond our minds anyway, our imaginations, our thoughts, our reasoning, or anything else. We can't even begin to understand the mind of God. But there's just so many profound statements in that psalm. And these psalms, I don't know who wrote them. David wrote the first one, they say, and the rest of them, they're anonymous. You don't know, they may have been several hundred years apart. You know, no one knows. But with the Holy Spirit being the author of Scripture, they all fit together, and one just really just opens up more and more on the one prior to it. It's amazing how that works to our minds, and there again, that is the mind of God, who can communicate like that to each one of us. So, and then we also looked at the purpose of praise, the privilege of praise, and then the evangelism of praise. We saw that in Psalm 145 as we looked at how he says that we will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power and make known to the sons of men your mighty acts. And that's what we are, what we talked about Sunday. That we're to go out, we're to speak, we're to talk. How else is the world going to see or understand or know? And we speak of the mighty acts. Well, we weren't there when the Lord parted the Red Sea. We didn't see the thunderings on Mount Sinai. We didn't see Jesus put the clay on the blind man's eye. We weren't there when He said, Lazarus, come forth. But all of us have had things in our lives that the Lord has done and we can look back on. You remember, that's another lesson from a while back, that we have, in retrospect, we can see God's work. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we certainly know what He's done. So we speak of the mighty acts of God as they are personal to us too, not only from Scripture, but personal to each one of us, how He sustains us through various trials and how much happiness He brings in our lives. And so that's speaking, and that's the evangelism of praise. And then starting in 146, we start talking about personal praise, that where he starts out, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And the privilege of being able to say, this is my God. Now, if that don't make you praise God, I don't know what will. The songs that we sang tonight had a great message, that first one especially. And it's just amazing when you begin to think, and praise is personal. And the writer in number 147, the reason I'm saying these psalms all so tie together is in 146 he says, I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And then the writer of 147 says, it's good to sing praises to God, for it's pleasant and praise is becoming. I got a little bit ahead of myself there, but you see what I'm saying? Such a smooth tie-in, and the subject never really changes. It just grows as you get into each psalm. Finally, we're going to get to the very last one, and that's all it's going to say. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then at the last verse, if it's got breath, let it praise the Lord. Who should praise God? Whoever's breathing God's air. That's right. Whoever's breathing God's air. And then, after we got out of the... And we went in, you remember, not trusting in princes and all this. And after we got out of that, we got into praise for an active God. Starting in verse 6 of 146, where we talked about God being active as a creator and keeping faith. God being active in the dispenser of justice and a provider and the seeker of the lost and the lifter of the humble in verse 18. And that's kind of where we stopped a couple of weeks ago. And he goes on even further in verse 8. There's not that many verses in that chapter. He goes on in verse 9 and he says, the Lord protects the strangers and supports the fatherless and the widow, and he thwarts the way of the wicked. He's the protector. He's active. He's moving in our lives. And we never know so many things. Do you realize there are so many tragedies that could have befell us that didn't because God's grace took them out of the way before we ever knew about them? You ever think about things like that? That came to my mind last Wednesday. I went over Wednesday morning. I did my regular Thanksgiving cake delivery up to the bank. Robin was on vacation, but she makes the most wonderful cakes. So the lady wants me to bring them, so I bring them up. Picked up my grandson, and we came back by FedEx and came through Bessemer the back way, and I came up the superhighway because I was going to Lowe's. And I stopped at the red light, and the light was green for the other cars to come. And, you know, it's one way on 19th Street there, and there were several cars that started out. And here come this car just barreled by me, didn't even slow down, went right through the intersection. And, you know, you miss cars by like that. And I began to think, I thought about that when I thought about this. How many things, and we'll never know this, but we need to praise God for His protection. Not just, that was a close call, Lord. You know, not just for what we see, but for what we don't see. John the Baptist went before Christ to prepare the way for Him. God goes before you and I. And I'm not just when we're going to fly on a plane or go on a trip or whatever. When you get out of bed in the morning, when you leave home, every day. That's the detail and the act. And we're going to hear that. We're going to find out just how detailed that is in the next chapter. That's how detailed God's active is active in our lives. And it should cause us to praise Him. Or at least smile. There you go. He's also, He thwarts the way of the wicked. Now, you know, sometimes it seems like that bad people just get away with things. And I'm not talking about people that maybe break the law. What about the abortionist? There's no law against that. But that's wickedness. And it makes me mad. It's okay to get mad at sin. That makes me mad. That people can be so flippant about something so precious as human life. Nobody will get away with anything. And God confounds the way of the wicked. You and I don't, I mean, we don't have to worry about justice. God's justice is total and won't miss anything. Now, that's not a fun saying. That's not something fun to think about, because we know what God's justice entails. But God is just. And He means what He says. And if we need any proof of that, all we have to do is look at the cross. He would not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. The innocent for the guilty. He could have. Jesus said, if I call on my Father, He'd send legions of angels. He told Pilate, you only have me because it's been given to you from above. But He didn't. He didn't spare His own Son. And the wicked won't get away. And He confounds their ways. And that's who He is. And we have to understand that that's as much of being God as grace and mercy and compassion and understanding and forgiveness is. God is just. And either He's going to put His justice on you, or He put it on Christ in your place. And it's sad, you know, this time of year especially, all these kooks come out of the walls. I saw them on Fox News this afternoon, this guy saying that religion is just a sham. I mean, it's a big thing out in the western states. They're saying that if you can put up a religious Christmas scene, then I can put up my atheist Christmas scene. And it's a court deal. You know how these guys do. And they're going to go to court and spend a bunch of tax money. So, I mean, everybody doesn't believe. Everybody doesn't embrace the gospel. And it's a shame, in my opinion. But nobody will get away with anything. But the Christian doesn't necessarily want God to pour out His justice on somebody necessarily. Unless they're just, like I said Sunday, just someone who is just someone who makes fun of the gospel, who's heard it and who laughs at it and makes fun of it. Christians want to see God's mercy because they've received mercy. But either way, God will thwart the way of the wicked. And then He says the Lord will reign forever. In other words, it's never going to stop. The glory and the rest and the wonder of the saints will never end. It's going to go on forever. That's the detail that God is involved in our lives. So too, hell will go on forever. David says, if I descend there, who defined? You are there. And it will never stop. This is eternal. And if we think our Lord's active now, wait till we're able to see what He's doing. That's the day you're going to come when you're going to understand a whole lot better than you do now. This day going to come when you're not going to have any questions in your mind that won't get answered. Nobody knows what that's like. But that's never going to stop. It's never going to end. Our God saved us and He keeps us and He's never going to change His mind about us. And it's an eternal thing that goes on forever and ever. Chapter 147 just continues on with the thoughts. I've already mentioned verse 1. Praise the Lord. It's good to sing praises to God. It's pleasant and it's becoming. Does it not lift you and lift your soul and make you feel good? There's nothing wrong with saying that. You know, sometimes we're kind of afraid to say something about feelings. You know, Calvinists, we're not supposed to have any feelings. We're supposed to be, you know, just bent over a desk with a candle burning, writing solemn stuff all the time. Nothing wrong with feeling good. Nothing wrong with being happy in the Lord. Nothing wrong with experiencing the joy in our heart that comes from praise to God. You see what he's saying here? We're praising God, but what's happening to it? It comes around and God sends it right back to us. Isn't that unusual? I mean, I've never seen a basketball or a football or a baseball star that was praised that ever turned around and saw that it got back to people. It's always about me. And it can be about me to God because He deserves all the praise. But yet, He says it's good to sing praises and it's pleasant. Praise is becoming. It comes right back in full circle. And God sends us blessings and we enjoy as we sing and as we do all the things that we do to praise God. I enjoy singing. I kid you all the time about not being able to sing, and I can't. I can sing, but you wouldn't want to hear it. But when I'm over here and Judy's playing the piano and Bob's chimed in on the organ and Bob's up here singing into the microphone and everybody else, I sing pretty good. I sing. Brother Jim and Cora is the one that has a problem because they're the one that sits in front of me. Now, I love to sit in front of the Barneses or Brother Clint or several of the other folks that sing very well. And I love because you can hear them in the back, see. But whoever sits in front of me is in trouble. I guess they just are kind. They ain't ever said nothing. But I still enjoy doing it. And I sing, except when I'm preaching. I don't wear my voice out. I'll sit there and listen then. But it does. It's good, and it's becoming, and it comes back, and God sends it back to us. And there's something very unique that I discovered just this afternoon about this psalm. In verse 1, he says, "Praise the Lord. Sing praises to our God." And then he kind of fills in a commentary as to why. Then in verse 7, he says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God with the lyre," with music and all. Then he comes in the next four verses with commentary. Then in verse 12, it just comes out of him again. "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion." And then he comes in with more great things about the Lord. Does anybody remember why I said, I don't like these masks? Does anybody remember why I said there's so much talk of creation in these Psalms? I know you do, and you don't want to be the first one to speak. And so, because it shows God's authority. When you speak of creation, it speaks of God's authority over what He has made. I know you remember me saying that now. If not, it's on the internet, right? Unless that was the night I forgot to turn the microphone on. Because it brings praise to God, but it shows His authority. Creation, and creation, it's not just in the first chapter of Genesis. It's all through the book, all the way to Revelation. And it shows God's authority because He has a right over what He has made to do with it as He pleases. He has a right to expect obedience and praise from people because He is God. And if you're a saved person or if you're lost, it doesn't make any difference. He gives you the same breath of life that He does everybody. It shows authority for God, and these chapters are just packed full of it, and of comfort that He builds up Jerusalem and gathers the outcast of Israel. Well, He don't, we don't talk of Him building up Hueytown, but He builds up the church and He gathers the outcast. Where'd you come from? Were you a Christian when you were born? All of us sitting here, not all 20 of us, come from different ways. At one time in our lives, and maybe you've been a Christian since you were a kid, I hope you have. But I wouldn't. And we've been brought in See, this is a seeking God who not only has authority over all that He has created, but who seeks the one who has deserted and left Him. I just spoke about this Sunday at the nursing home. I started my Christmas messages there, and I started off in Genesis chapter 3 with creation and God's promise of a Redeemer. And so, I mean, this is the praise after He says here that we need to praise. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And then comes the first verse that to me will knock you down when you think about it. You ready? He counts the number of the stars and gives names to all of them. Now digest on that for a spell. And we've all been out, that's in Psalm 147 verse 4. And we've all been out at night before, out in the country or whatever when we were kids or whatever. I remember we used to spend a lot of time over in Mississippi. My daddy was born and raised over there. And when it got dark in Mississippi, it was dark. There wasn't no street lights. And you know how you can see the brilliance of the night sky with all the stars of the Milky Way galaxy. Well, you know, a lot of those stars you see are actually far away galaxies. There's billions of them. Who knows? Billions upon billions of stars in each one of them, and billions of them, and God calls each one of them, David, each one of them by name. Now, as the old country boy said, chew on that for a spell. You see what this does? It magnifies the glory of God. What human being can even think of something like that? And I'll guarantee you, every one of them has a different name. Just like I think we'll all have different names in heaven. I don't think there'll be a bunch of, you holler Jim or Bob or around here and you get stampeded. I don't believe that'll happen. That's the detail of knowing. I already picked my name out that I want to be called, but I'm not going to tell you. I wonder if he'd call me Nick. Anyway, you see what he says here? I mean, he's showing the magnitude of God. If you can't praise God for that. And then he says, great is the Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. You never have to ask God, Lord, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm going through? Oh, how infinite His mind is and how infinite our God is. I mean, if we could just ever get a little bit of a grasp on verse 4, we may understand a little bit about verse 5. Now, I said that for this reason. How infinite and vast God is, that He can name every star that exists in whatever how big creation is. If He does that, how thorough does He understand me and you? What is there that He can't understand or know? And it's not hard. Brother Jim said something in a lesson or a sermon you said, I believe it was one of your sermons on the Minor Prophets, that if God was a learner, He'd have to be learning billions of things every day. And all those stars and planets, they all move. What does Colossians say? He has authority over His creation. And He holds it together by the power of His might. That's our Lord Jesus. He holds it together He could be here on earth as a man going through what he did, and everything ran just fine. And you know, this reminds me, and I'm about to stop, Bob, I won't give you all of that time, but this reminds me of when he was confronted by the Pharisees so many times, and they whispered, "This guy's a nut. What's he thinking?" And then they thought something, and Jesus would turn and look at them and answer their question that was in their mind. I would have went to the house. If you can tell me, if I can ask myself a question in my mind and you can look at me and answer it right there and then, I'm going to pretty well agree with whatever you say. But then that's the blindness of sinful men. Because there is no limit to God, who He is, His person, or what He is capable of. That's not even a good thing to say, what's God capable of. If He is that infinite and knows all that and cares so much about me and you, cared enough to put you in the spot you was in when you heard the gospel and you believed. Cared enough to open your mind and heart and understanding this vast, infinite God that is controlling everything there is. How great is His love for us? If that don't cause you to praise God, you need to go sit out under a tree in the backyard and think on it a while. Or as the old guy said, a spell. You ever heard that? Go think on it a spell. Old Gomer Pyle, the sergeant, put a bucket on his head. Told him to think. He took that bucket off and he says, "You know, you can think under there. Maybe we ought to just put a bucket on our head and think how much God cares and how much praise we should give Him." Well, I'm going to stop there because that's a good place to stop.